Today, Marian McPartland's guest is trumpeter, composer, and bandleader Joe Wilder. In 2008, he became the recipient of the Jazz Masters Fellowship from the National Endowment for the Arts. Joe Wilder passed away May 9, 2014, at age 92. We were fortunate to have him on Piano Jazz in 2001.
Joe, how are you?
I'm fine, thank you.
You've done so many different things, it's hard to know where to start. But you're another musician born in Philadelphia, right?
Right.
There's so many good people.
A lot of them.
Did you come from a family of musically?
My father was a musician. He was until he was about 87 years old.
Really?
Yes. And he started off playing cornet. And at some point, he decided he wanted to try the sousaphone. And he tried the sousaphone and fell in love with that. And he studied the sousaphone and played that for many years. And then during the same time, he studied the bass violin. So he played as a doubler for many years in Philly with the local bands and things. Then he finally just settled. When the tuba went out of vogue, he just stuck to the bass violin.
You know, it's fascinating hearing all this stuff, but I'd love to hear you play something. What can we do? And we're lucky we've got wonderful bassists with us today.
That's for sure.
Rufus Reed on bass.
Right.
So we can really sound good together. So
well,
what would you like to do?
Let's try It's You or No One for Me.
Okay.
One, two, three, four.
Thank you. You know, that's really one of my favorite tunes, and I don't know why people don't play it more. Maybe some of the younger musicians will catch on to it now they've heard us.
Some of them are playing it, actually.
Are they?
In fact, that's what got me started on it. I heard some fellows playing it, and they played it very well. And I hadn't thought of it as a tune to play on the sessions or anything. So it is a good tune to play.
Now, you just learn tunes probably like I did, just by hearing them.
That's true.
It's really a good way, isn't it?
I think it is, because while you're listening, you're absorbing a lot of things, and it's much easier to acquire the knowledge of it by listening sometimes
than
by having someone beat it into your head, actually.
So how did you get, started playing gigs?
The reason that I even got any experience at all was because of the nepotism on my father's part. My father was playing with one group, and it was a pretty good group in Philly. And the first trumpet player was a very fine player, highly regarded. And so my father said to me one day, he said, look, I'll take you to work with me, and we'll take your cornet. And he said, there are only two trumpets. And he said, there are three trumpet parts on the stock. He said, now you sit there, and you listen to these fellows play, and if you think there's something that you can read, then just play, but very quietly, and that way you'll begin to learn how to play with a section or something. And he did this about three times. I think the third time, the first trumpet player saw me coming, and he didn't realize I was as close to him as I was. And he looked at one of the other musicians and said, oh, my God, here comes Wilder with that blame kid again.
Oh, dear.
It hurt my feelings at the time, but then later on, I realized what he was talking about.
But that was obviously a great help to you doing that. So I don't know where to start. You've done so many things. I mean, what do you do mostly now? Are you doing sort of a variety of gigs?
Well, I've been playing with the Smithsonian Jazz Masterworks Orchestra.
Oh, really?
Right, yeah. For several years.
Pardon me while I bow.
We don't keep that. We're not that busy, but we do things, a number of concerts every year. And last year, the whole month of July, we were in Europe. We started out, as a matter of fact, in Istanbul, Turkey, and we were all over the place, in Spain, France, Italy. It's something worthwhile.
Yes,
know,
it is.
Very good.
Well, what are we going to play? We ought to do another one.
How about It's Easy to Remember?
Oh, I love that tune, too.
That's a nice tune.
All right. You know, Joe, some of these great tunes, like that one, I was just thinking a tune is probably 100 years old or 50 or 60, isn't it?
Right, right.
It came from a show or something like that?
I think so.
Could have.
Yeah.
Well, there's more to come with Joe Wilder and bassist Rufus Reed. I'm Marian McPartland, and this is Piano Jazz. Our program is made possible in part by a grant from the National Endowment for the Arts. I read somewhere, do you play with Peter Duchin?
Yes.
You do now?
I haven't played with him for, well, I guess about 6 months or so, but I had been playing almost on a regular basis with him.
I was very impressed because those gigs, I mean, you have to know all the pop songs and the old songs, and you have to play.
I found out I know all of them but one.
What's that?
One.
You know, I was doing a concert the other day, and somebody asked me for this tune.
Near You.
Yeah. Isn't that an awful tune?
It's the kind of thing you used to hear with a calliope at the circus or something like that, or the carnivals.
But
it lends itself to that.
I was just thinking, you know, about Peter Duchin, and I thought if anybody asked him for that tune, he probably knows it. But that's undoubtedly an interesting gig because you probably go to all these society parties.
Yeah, they do quite a bit of that.
Yeah.
The thing of it is, you have to keep up with the Broadway shows and the new tunes and things
so that
you're familiar with them, you know. And right. A lot of times I found I really wasn't that familiar with them. But you hear them a few times and finally, you because we don't use any music.
No, that would be against the grain, wouldn't it? I mean, it's got to look
A lot of it is right off the top of your head, and I think that's why I've lost so much hair.
Well, you know, I once did a gig with Lester Lannan, and I was surprised at things I knew and things I didn't know, but that it all goes by so fast, like before you finishing one tune, he's starting another one.
Right.
But it's good for the character doing something like that.
Mm-hmm.
God, I keep thinking of tunes we should do, and you mentioned one, a samba, which I don't think...
Samba, the Orpheus.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
We could do that, couldn't we?
Oh, that's fine. That's one of the Latin tunes, and one of the head-shaking, foot-stomping kind of tunes of the Latin music.
Well, that's good.
Yeah, it's a good one.
Let's do it.
Thank you.
that's really a nice tune to play on. I don't know if I ever played it, to tell you the truth.
I have played it before. I played it on the album, and I think I played it on the album, and it's very seldom that I get a chance to play it, but it's a good tune to play.
Yes,
really
it is.
A nice swinging kind of a thing.
You know, I was going back a little bit thinking about you were at the Manhattan School one time, weren't you?
I graduated from the Manhattan School, and I had the good fortune to play principal trumpet over there in the orchestra at the Manhattan School of Music when I was there, yes.
That's a great school, isn't it?
Oh, it still is a great school. It was great back there, and it has improved even since that time.
Was that a while ago? I guess it was.
Oh, it's in the 50s. Oh. 1954, 53.
But you were all probably already playing some gigs.
I'll tell you, I think I was playing at the Diamond Horseshoe.
Oh, really?
With Noble Sissle.
Oh, my goodness. And UB Blake was around then.
UB Blake was there. He was around, definitely.
Oh, my goodness. Yeah. So that's quite a switch from the Manhattan School to the Diamond
Horseshoe.
Well,
I was at the school at that time, and then when I left the Diamond Horseshoe, I continued. I was working to get my master's, which I didn't get because I left in 54 and went with Count Basie.
Well, after Count Basie, did you ever go with Duke Ellington's band? Were you ever with him?
I was never a member of Duke Ellington's band. I played with him once with the orchestra at the Apollo Theater. One of the trumpet players, two of the trumpet players were sick because Clark Terry and I filled in for a few shows there that week. And that was the only time that I ever played in the orchestra itself. I played with Duke at ABC when I was on staff there on a program he was doing with Ernie Kovac's wife.
Edie Adams.
And we had a small group, and we played with him there, but I was never a member of his band.
I did get to play with the band a few times. Uh-huh. He was very generous, and if he saw me lurking around listening to the band, he would call me up to sit in.
That's great.
Which was always a kick. A real friend.
Oh, he was a nice man. Well, while we're on the subject of Duke Ellington, maybe it would be nice to have you and Rufus play something from the Ellington repertoire.
We do know a few tunes.
Mm-hmm. That's so great. How about Prelude to a Kiss?
Hey, that would be nice. That's one of my favorites.
That's great.
All right.
Thank you.
Marion, I'd like to tell you that was a beautiful rendition of Prelude to a Kiss by you and Rufus. Really beautiful. It's the kind of thing that when you hear it or have heard it in the past, you go home and sleep in the middle of the night, you wake up humming something, and it's that kind of an interpretation of that theme. It's very beautiful.
Well, thank you. I'm glad you liked it. You know, it's one of my favorite Duke tunes. Well, more in a minute. My guest is Joe Wilder, and bassist Rufus Reed is joining us today. I'm Marion McPartland, and this is Piano Jazz, made possible in part by the Baldwin Piano Company. You know, Joe, I was thinking, isn't it hard to be a jazz player and then turn around and have to play classical music? Is that difficult?
Yeah, I think most of it has to do with your frame of mind. When you're playing, if you're playing jazz, for the most part, there's a lot of discipline that's required, but you also have more leeway in deciding the way you want to interpret something and play it, whereas in classical music, you're generally required to adhere to whatever is written before you and the dictates of the conductor, so that it can be a little disconcerting. I always found that I could do better playing classical and then after that going to play jazz than playing jazz and then going immediately into something classical, because I just didn't seem to be keyed up for it the way it was. Someone like Wynton Marsalis does it impeccably, but at the time that I was doing it, I wasn't doing it on that same level, but I always found it harder to go from the jazz thing into the classical than from the classical into the jazz, because I could just sort of relax and say, well, here it is, whatever I want to do, I can do.
And yeah, that's true. I can see why that would be, because that's what's so wonderful about jazz. You can take any tune and make it
the freedom
go,
of expression.
Freedom of expression,
right.
Which is what I always found playing classical music. I guess I didn't like having to observe all the markings and the tempo.
Right.
And I mean, it's nice and all that, but it's an entirely different thing.
Right.
But I guess you get, undoubtedly, you're very versed at doing both things.
Yeah, but you know, in the statement I made, I don't mean to imply that in concert music you don't have any freedom, because actually you do in many instances. My interpretation of a certain phrase in a well-known composition might be different from yours, and yet you'll be adhering to the music that's written, but it's just maybe you prefer to play it a little slower, a little softer, or a little louder, or whatever, and you can create some nuances, and you do have that freedom. But
well, that's something, at least.
That's true.
Well, we're going to have a lot of freedom with this next tune.
Okay.
We can do what we want. And I love this tune by Irving Berlin, How Deep Is the Ocean?
Oh, that's a fine tune.
It's a good tune, isn't it?
It is.
Well, let's be free.
We'll get into the measurements.
Get into the measurements, okay. Thank you. Boy, that was so pretty. Was that a good tempo for that tune?
That was a good tempo. It was a good tempo.
Because that means a lot, you know, if you can...
Absolutely. The tempo is a lot of times determined what direction you'll go melodically. I mean, if it's slow or if it's too fast, your mind doesn't grasp it in the same way. I mean, you're not able to improvise as well as you would if the tempo is to your suiting, to your liking, you know.
So, in other words, we got to be careful, haven't we?
Very careful. If you were in a Savoy ballroom and the tempo was not right, nobody would get up and dance.
That's true.
You'd learn right away that the tempo is not suitable for dancing and enjoying.
Has that ever happened? Like, were you ever on a gig where something like that would happen, where the band leader would count it off too slow or too fast or something?
Well, an example of that, one time we were doing something for the Treasury Department, and Ray Block was the conductor. We used to be with Jackie Gleason.
Yes, sure.
And they said to him, Mr. Block, we need another 2 minutes or something of music. And he said, okay, to the band, get up number 27. And we got up number 27, and he counted it off. One, two, three, four. Ba, 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 da. It was Little Darling, and he had no idea of what the tempo. He was just supplying enough music for the time they had asked him for. And the band, we played it, but we were on the floor. I mean, it was so funny. And I don't think to this day that he realized what had happened.
Because that should be like... Oh, that's so funny.
That's true.
I would think the band would be on the floor. Oh, God, that's funny. Well, there's a lot more coming up. I'm Marian McPartland. My guest is Joe Wilder, and we're joined by Rufus Reed on bass. Something else that we could play. You've got a suggestion? Something out of your vast repertoire of tunes?
Maybe Far Away Places? Or
Hey. Yeah,
that should be nice.
That's a tune I haven't...
In 3/4.
All right. That would be a good one. Thank you. You know, it's so much fun playing these tunes I haven't thought of or never played before. You're really, really digging some out for me, Joe. It's wonderful.
That's what makes it interesting, too. But, it's playing faraway places, and especially in a waltz tempo. It's kind of nice, and it's somewhat reminiscent of the old days, the wagon trail days, when the leader of the trail master, he would sing, or you'd hear this in the background with a Roy Rogers film or something like that.
My God, for a minute you made it sound like you were there.
I felt almost like I was there sometimes. But it was very pretty, you know. It was very, very touching, actually.
Evocative.
Yeah.
What did you do? You changed horns on me there.
I picked up the flugelhorn and has a different mouthpiece. The instrument is a B-flat instrument, the same as a trumpet, but it has a very dark quality to it. And I think initially it was it's a military instrument in the European military bands way back, and I think the French called it a petit bugle. But why? Because it's much larger than a bugle, I don't understand. But nonetheless, that's what it was called.
But it sounds so wonderful on
it's
this,
a nice
on
instrument.
Kind of
it's
a
nice
tune,
instrument,
you know.
Right.
And, you know, it's also very nice to have wonderful bassist Rufus Reed playing with us.
Is that Rufus Reed?
The Rufus Reed.
We couldn't do any better, believe
no,
me.
No, we couldn't, could we?
Not at all.
Well, you know, being that he's here, I would love to play another tune for you.
Okay.
Would that be okay?
That's fine with me.
And I thought I'd pick another old one. I Cover the Waterfront.
That's pretty, too. That's a nice tune.
Okay.
Thank you.
thanks for that beautiful rendition of "I Cover the Waterfront," and it's one of those real touching tunes to begin with, and it was played so beautifully that I'll go home singing that.
Well, thanks. I love playing that tune, but you know,
it's a beautiful song. It really is. It's something worthwhile.
Yes,
know,
it is.
Very good.
Joe, it's been such a ball to have you and Rufus here today. I've really enjoyed myself, and I hope you have too.
Well, I think you can tell by the smile on my face that I've enjoyed myself too, really.
Well, you're a wonderful guest, and I do thank you and Rufus for coming and making it so wonderful for me, because I have a lot of fun doing this too.
We're in good company, and we know it.
Well, but meanwhile, we should do one more tune to round the thing off. So what have you got in mind?
Let's try Lady Be Good.
Can't go wrong with that. It was wonderful.
What a good feeling.
You've been listening to Piano Jazz with Marian McPartland and her guest Joe Wilder in a program from 2001. Piano Jazz is recorded at Avatar Studios in New York City and is a production of South Carolina ETV Radio. The producer is Sherry Hutchinson, recording engineer Richard Applegate, mastering engineer David Mitchell, production coordinator Audrey Shiflett. Executive Producer Elaine Freeman. We love to hear from you. Our email address is pj@scetv.org. Support for Piano Jazz comes from the National Endowment for the Arts, the Friends of Piano Jazz, and NPR. Additional support comes from Downbeat, an insider's guide to over 80 years of evolving jazz styles, on the web at downbeat.com. Support for this episode's original production was provided by the Joseph Drown Foundation, the Wallace Reader's Digest Funds, the Baldwin Piano Company, Borders Books and Music, and Hilton Head Island, South Carolina Chamber of Commerce. Support for NPR comes from NPR stations and NPR contributors, which include the John S. and James L. Knight Foundation, helping NPR advance journalistic excellence in the digital age, and the Lemelson Foundation, committed to improving lives through invention in the U.S. and developing countries, on the web at lemelson.org. This is NPR.